If you'll please turn back with me there to Acts chapter 4. This morning we looked at verses 1 to 22. Tonight we're going to look at verses 23 to 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Let's continue this wonderful chapter, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says of Peter and John, in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us once again to understand your word. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us and, Lord, lead us into truth this evening that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue in Acts chapter number 4, we remember that this morning the church faced their first persecution. Peter and John were held to account for the miracle that took place, for the preaching that Peter declared, and they were thrown into prison overnight. Then the Sanhedrin convened, and what was their decision in the end? In Acts chapter 4, they told them in verse 17 that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Notice in verse 21. "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So they threatened them, and they commanded them in verse 18 not to speak at all, not one bit, to speak at all in the name of Jesus." Now, this meeting of the Sanhedrin was a pivotal meeting. The high court of the Jewish religion had convened, and they had now made an attack against the Christian faith. They had now made a law that they were no longer to teach in the name of Jesus. They were no longer to witness in the name of Jesus or to speak his name at all. And this was an official decision by the Sanhedrin, and they let Peter and John go. So what was going to happen now to the faith? What would happen to this newly fledgling church that was growing in Jerusalem? What was going to happen? Now imagine if that happened in our day. Now, for the sake of example, I'll pick on our two ushers. What if Brother Andy and Brother Lachlan were out in town and they were witnessing to a gentleman and he received Christ as Saviour, and people gathered around, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they started to preach the gospel. Now, what if the council determined that they were disturbing the peace, that they were causing a ruckus there on the esplanade, and they took them to court and they held them to account for disturbing the peace, for being contentious. And of course, in our day, many people will say that the Bible is a book of hate, and it is derogatory and it should be outlawed. Imagine if they were held to account and a law was passed in the High Court in Canberra that you could no longer teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And they returned back to Coastline Baptist Church. Church family, what would we do? What would we do as a church? What would we do as a people? Just to put it into perspective, that's what these Christians were facing. This was no ordinary event. The Christian faith had now been outlawed and the church had experienced their first persecution. Now, the amazing events that unfold as we have read this evening show us that these believers, instead of disbanding out of fear, instead of looking for a place to hide, they united in their faith. And the Bible tells us that as they united in their faith, they experienced a greater measure of the power of God upon their lives. The Bible says that great grace was upon the church, and they went out and they speak the word of God with boldness. Notice chapter 5 and verse 14. And the Bible tells us later in chapter 5, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Friends, this is a miracle. This is a miracle that was born out of great persecution. And let me say this evening, these believers did not have anything that you and I do not have. They didn't experience some charismatic experience. They didn't experience some strange second Pentecost here in Acts chapter 4. They weren't lifted up to an emotional high as something that carried them through to enable them to move forward in their faith. Not at all. They had exactly the same one that we have tonight. They have the Lord. They have the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
They have the Word of God. And that is what we have tonight. And so often when we are persecuted, when we face oppression, when we face trials, we shut down and we close up, don't we? We close the doors of our hearts. Maybe in this circumstance, if we faced it, we might be tempted to close the doors of this church, to hide. And yet this evening we see that out of persecution, these believers found great power in God. So tonight we are going to look at the power of the persecuted church. The power of the persecuted church. And here in the Word of God we see three things. Notice first of all, the power of their faith. The power of their faith. These believers had faith in God. It wasn't a complicated faith. It wasn't a scholarly faith. It was a simple faith in God. Notice here in Acts chapter number 4, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Notice what the Bible says. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. Notice first of all tonight that God's people were together. Amen. They didn't scatter out of fear. They remained together. They were together in one accord. And remember, time and time again, God tells us they were with one accord. Why? Because as His church, He wants us to be of one accord. That doesn't only mean being in the same place physically, but being in the same place spiritually. Amen? That means we believe in God. We believe in who He is. We believe in God's calling upon our lives to be witnesses, and we stick together, we stay together, and when the doors of the church are open, we meet together. Amen? That's an important fact. They were together. How can God bless His church if they're not together? How can God encourage His church, especially in times of persecution, if they are not together? That's why God is careful to say in Hebrews chapter 10, isn't He? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And by the way, that wasn't just their day, that is our day. You see, persecution upon the church is coming our way. Persecution will come to us if we are faithful. And we need to be prepared as a church to stand together. Amen?
Right.
How many of you understand that we need one another as a church?
Yes, that's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen?
We need to meet together. We need to fellowship together. We need to get to know each other more. We need to pray together. And we need to trust God together. If you and I face persecution and it causes us to scatter, that is going to cause our faith to weaken, our faith to shut down and to close up. So here we see the power of their faith. First of all, they were together, very simply. Notice, instead of hiding, instead of forming a quick business meeting and deciding on the best hiding place to find in the Judean wilderness, in the rocks somewhere where some of the Jewish zealots were hiding, instead of planning their escape route or choosing to disband as a church, what did they do? They turned to the Lord in prayer. Look with me in Acts chapter number 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Notice those words again. Lord, Thou art God. Notice the power of their faith. The power of their faith. These believers had a simple faith. When they faced persecution, what did they do? They turned their hearts and their eyes to the Lord. And here's the most simple four-word declaration of faith to encourage you and I tonight. Lord, Thou art God. What does that mean? That means God is God. He is the Lord. He is the sovereign King and ruler of the universe. Amen. And that simple truth ought to encourage our faith, especially in times of persecution. Our God is all-powerful, all-knowing. Notice what they said in verse 24. Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You see, they praised God as their sovereign Lord and Creator. Though they were facing great persecution from man, can you see them exercising their faith in God? They're saying to the Lord, Lord, You are God. They are not God. They are just man. And Lord, You are God. And You are the Creator of heaven and earth, the sea and earth and all that in them is. Lord, You are in control. Lord, You are all-powerful. Lord, You are all-knowing. Instead of hiding in fear, what did they do? Brethren, they hid themselves in God. That's what they did. Amen? They encouraged each other's faith by calling out to the Lord and acknowledging Him as their God and as their sovereign Lord over their lives. They didn't pray in fear. They praised God in faith. And that's what you and I need to do. Here's a lesson for us. Praising the Lord in troubled times. Praising the Lord. Later Peter would write in 1 Peter 4:19. Turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 4:19. Notice what Peter wrote to the believers that were persecuted. How many of you understand Peter learned something about being persecuted? And God said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that's what he did in the books of 1 and 2 Peter. Notice 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You see, because God is our Lord, He is faithful. He is the one that has given us life. He is the one that has given us salvation. And He is the one that we can hide in times of trial and in times of persecution. And simply put, Lord, Thou art God, ought to encourage us. When you and I face overwhelming difficulties, we need to stir up our faith and praise the Lord and simply call out to the Lord who doeth all things well. See, they committed themselves into the hands of their loving, faithful Creator, whom they knew was in complete control even of the sudden, malicious, and potentially crippling attack upon the church. Now, brethren, here's the good news. God has not changed. Amen? God is still seated on the throne. He has not changed. He is still the same today as He has ever been. He still has all power in heaven and in earth. That's why the Lord Jesus says, "Go ye therefore." If you believe He has all power in heaven and earth, then we will go and be His witnesses. We will be encouraged even in times of persecution. You see, He is a God who is able still today to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, they praised God together. Not only were they together, but they praised God together. What a wonderful example of overcoming faith, of the power of faith in simply who God is. You see, God isn't asking us to rejoice in our circumstances. God isn't asking us to rejoice in the persecution that comes our way. He's not saying that that is pleasant. He's not saying that that is something that ought to be treasured, because it's hurtful and it's painful oftentimes. But what the Lord is calling us to rejoice in is Him. Is who He is. In His sovereignty. In His power. In His grace, in who He is in our lives. And so often God allows persecution into our lives. For what reason? To draw us closer to Him. To encourage our faith. You see, they praise God together. They praise God for His power. Notice they praise God for His providence. For His providence. The fact that God was working out His perfect plan despite the circumstances they saw before them. Notice the example that they mention back in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, verses 25 to 26, these believers quoted Psalm chapter 2. They remembered the Old Testament. Remember, they had the Word of God. And they said, well, what does the Word of God say? Hey, remember David's Psalm in Psalm chapter 2. They said in verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." You see, David here in Psalm chapter 2 was writing about the rebellion of the nations, the rebellion against God's chosen king. And yes, it is a messianic prophecy. And in this psalm, in Psalm chapter 2, God looked down upon these rebellious people who came against His kingdom, who came against His plan, who came against His chosen king. And yes, the same rebellion that would take place against Christ, the Messiah. And what did God do? He laughed. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" You see, just like in David's day, the people thought that they were in control who came against him. And just like in these believers' days, those Jews thought that they were in control, didn't they? They thought they had the right to stop Christianity. They thought they had the power to do so. They thought that simply by threatening the disciples, God's plans would be crushed. But that's not what happened at all. Out of persecution was born greater boldness in the faith. And as they encouraged each other in the Word of God, and they praised God for His providence, they were exercising their faith. And in verse 27 they said, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Now here's the key, notice verse 28. "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now here's the point, don't miss it. The church was facing great persecution. They were potentially facing the end of the Christian faith if they buckled to what has come before them. But as they looked, as they were reminded by the Word of God, they began to praise God. They praised God for His sovereignty and power, and then they praised God for His providence. Why were they praising God? Well, you see, the rulers of the earth in Christ's day crucified the Messiah, did they not? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews crucified Christ. But do you know what the wonderful declaration in this verse is? That was part of God's plan. Can you see the truth revealed in God's Word tonight? That was part of God's plan. even as horrific and as tragic as it was that they crucified their own Messiah, that was God's plan from His hand and His counsel that was determined before the foundation of the world. You see, even when man rebels against the church, even when men persecute believers, God still works out His perfect plan and uses that persecution for the furtherance of the faith. And what were they saying to God? Simply this: Lord, You are in control. Lord, You are seated upon the throne. Lord, You allowed Christ to be crucified. But the victory came when He rose again from the dead. And now there is power in His name to save. So Lord, we're going to trust You likewise, that as persecution comes against us, Lord, You're going to use that for the furtherance of the faith. Lord, You're going to use that somehow for Your glory. You're going to use that in my life, and in our church's life, to bring a greater witness to come, and a greater trust in You and in Your power. You see, God is sovereign. That means everything, even the problems in our lives, are in God's control, all working together for good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is that memory verse, isn't it? For we know. This is what the disciples knew. This was what these Christians knew. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose. You see, even the trials in our lives are under the sovereign control of God. See, the danger when persecution comes is that the church says, we can't handle this. This is out of control. This is too much. That means goodbye, church. Close the doors. Finish our faith. That's it. That's the end. But you see, these believers had power in their faith. Why? Because their faith was in God, not in the circumstances, not in the trials of life, not in the difficulties. See, what a lesson there is for you and I. They thank God that He is in control. Therefore, they had no reason to fear. And that's the simple lesson. If God is in control, then we have no reason to fear. Amen? Lord, Thou art God. If we really believe that, then we don't have any reason to fear. Isn't that true? If we really encourage each other in our faith, Lord, Thou art God, then that means You're in control of this too, including your difficulty right now. You see, if we really believe who He says He is, then we can thank Him even in times of difficulty. Why? Because things are going according to His perfect will and plan, even what we do not like in our lives. Now you may say, Pastor, that's not what I'm seeing in my life. Well, the answer is this: the just shall live by faith. You see, God is the Lord. That's what they were declaring. And that's what we need to declare in our faith today. The Lord is God. You cannot change that. You cannot get around that. You cannot deny that. God is sovereign. Therefore, sovereignly, He has allowed persecution to come into your life. Therefore, He has allowed that trial to come into your life. Therefore, He has allowed that difficulty into your life. And He is planning the path that He wants us to walk on as a church. He is planning the path He wants us to walk on for life. And He goes before us. He leads us into victory. But brethren, we need to have faith in God. Pretty simply. Put your faith in God. Not in your feelings. Not in your circumstances. And if we do, then we will be able to call out to the Lord in prayer. But God deserves the praise. Let me encourage you, next time you realize that you are up against an impossible situation, let me encourage you to praise God. Not praise the situation necessarily, but simply to say, Lord, Thou art God. And Lord, I believe what Your word says, that You made heaven and earth, and that You are the King of creation. You are the King of kings and You are the Lord of lords. So if my boss just said,
You're fired because you were witnessing at the workplace. Heavenly Father, I believe that was your perfect plan and will. Amen. And I believe that you'll use my witness somehow after I'm gone. And thank God you're in control. And Lord, I believe you'll provide me another job. Amen.
Amen.
Now's not the time to be silent in the workplace because we're afraid of losing our jobs.
Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely.
That's right.
If you're silent in the workplace, if your boss doesn't even know you're a Christian, I'm sorry to say you are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reality. That's a rebuke. Take it. Amen. Say, Lord, I need to be a witness while I have time. He has placed you in that place for such a time as this to tell others about Christ, to give them an invitation, to tell them you are a Christian, to take a stand for God in meekness. Don't get me wrong. I know I'm preaching loud. It doesn't mean that that's how you speak to people in the workplace. Just need to keep you awake tonight. But we need to be witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit, but lovingly. Amen. Graciously. With wisdom. But brethren, now's not the time to stay silent. We know that persecution will come. But God is on the throne. Amen. He is in control of our lives. And He is the one that we need to put our faith in times of persecution. Well, we see the power of faith in God. Lord, Thou art God. Amen. Lord, You are in control of the crucifixion of Christ that ended up for Your greater glory and the salvation of even our souls today. Can He not use the persecution and the trouble in your life for His glory if we respond by faith? Yes, He can. The power of their faith. Notice, secondly, the power of their prayer. In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, notice after they praised the Lord, they began to ask God for help. What did they ask God for help in? What did they ask Him to do? Notice verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. Now, here's another lesson for us. Notice what they did not pray. They did not pray, Lord, take away our enemies, did they? They said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, we know that You can see what's happening. And Father, You knew this would happen to us in this early stage of the church. And Lord, You've called us to go into all the world. Father, behold their threatenings. They didn't ask for the enemies to be removed. They didn't ask for the death of the high priest. Amen. They didn't ask for a change of government. What did they ask the Lord for? They asked that the Lord would grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. They asked the Lord for power to continue to witness. They asked the Lord for courage. In fact, we know the boldness comes from, and they knew that too, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, the empowering fullness of the Spirit of God. That's what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness. That's an amazing request in a time of persecution. Lord, take this person away out of my life. That's not what they prayed. Lord, take this feeling out of my heart. Well, their feelings changed as they put their faith in God. But they prayed for boldness. Now, there's an important word that we need to notice in verse 25. What did they call themselves in verse 29? Excuse me. Verse 29. Grant unto Thy servants. Now, that word servant doesn't mean a housemaid or a porter in the way that we would think of a servant today. No, the word servant means bond slave, a slave to a master. You see, these people were not just scattered believers. These people were faithful servants of God. They realized that their lives were in the hands of God. They realized that they were bond slaves, that they had been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why they could pray this way. You see, if our lives are not surrendered to God, we can't pray this way. We'll pray selfishly so we can consume it upon our lust. We'll say, Lord, take away this persecution so I can be comfortable. Lord, take away this problem so I can do what I want to do. You see, these people were servants. And that's what we need to see ourselves as tonight. We are bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns us if we are saved. He bought us with the blood of Christ. And these believers bowed humbly and they asked God to use them for His glory. Now, this is the kind of praying we need in our church today. Amen? This is the kind of praying we need in our church today. Now, I think there's too many Christians today who are persecuted that are crying out for their constitutional rights, to be honest with you. I'm not saying it's wrong to seek the government to do right, but let's not kid ourselves. Amen? Let's not kid ourselves. Persecution will come. And we need to put our efforts into seeking the Lord in prayer for greater boldness despite the persecution. Why? Because God uses persecution. He allows it into our lives. He allows it to experience a greater measure of His power so that we become serious about the faith. Now, if our request was granted and the government took away any form of persecution, any form of oppression against Christianity and the church, you know what we would do? We would sit back and do nothing. That's what we would do. That's what would happen. We would be lazy as Christians. And my point is this, that they prayed for boldness. Amen? They didn't pray for political freedom. They didn't pray for a change in their circumstances. They prayed that God would use them in a greater way, in the only way that He Himself could. And what we need to do as a church and as Christians, we need to be asking God for the same, for boldness. Amen? For boldness to go to work that next day and to continue to do a good job and to continue to work hard, be a good testimony and continue to have boldness even though someone doesn't like us at work because we witnessed to them. Is that right? We need to pray for boldness in our church that, Lord, You would empower us even more. That when we go door knocking and we're discouraged because people swear at us and slander us and reject us, what do we need to do against that persecution? We need to trust that God is in control of that too, those responses as well, and He wants to use us even more. And we need to encourage each other in the faith. And we need to pray, Lord, grant unto Thy servants boldness. Boldness. We see here in these believers' hearts, they knew they needed God's power to witness. They need God's power to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And likewise, we need His power too. God never meant for us to be witnesses in our own strength. Never. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible. We need His power. And He is the only one that can grant His power to us. And this is what these believers prayed for. Let me ask you the question. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, grant unto Thy servant boldness today? Amen? Boldness. Not a change of circumstances. Not people that would agree with you and make you feel comfortable in your family or at work or in your neighborhood. But Lord, give me more boldness to talk to them again. Lord, give me more boldness to continue to go out despite the persecution. Here we see the power of their prayer. Notice the next verse in verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And there's the key at the end of verse 30. Notice they prayed for God to be glorified. They didn't ask these things so that they could say, praise God, we've done a good job as God's witnesses. No, their focus was what? The name of thy holy child, Jesus. They were praying that through all this, God's name would be even more glorified among them and among the city of Jerusalem. They were praying that somehow God would use this for His honor and His glory. That was their prayer. Can you see this evening that it was an unselfish prayer? Because they weren't praying, Lord, help the name of our church to become greater in the community. No, they were praying, God, may You be glorified through the name of Your holy child, Jesus. You see, His name alone deserves the glory. And the glory of God is the highest purpose in our lives. They had power in prayer because they sought God for boldness to continue. And they sought God that He would be glorified in their midst. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God has called us to bring Him glory through our bodies, through our service, through our faith. And their desire was one desire, that He would be glorified. That's the kind of prayer that God is pleased to answer. That's the kind of prayer that is born out of faith, faith in who God is. Lord, may You be glorified through this. When was the last time that you were rejected for your faith? And you praised God that He was in control. You asked God for greater boldness. And you prayed, Lord, as hurtful and as difficult a situation as this is, Lord, may You be glorified through this situation. Lord, that is what I desire more than anything else, that You would be honored. You know, so often we pray even for people to be saved. Why? So we can feel better that they're saved. Isn't that true? Let's be honest, just a simple example. We can be so selfish in our prayers, and yet we forget how God feels and God's glory. We don't pray so often for souls to be saved, for God's glory is so much for ours. And so often we miss the point that God deserves the glory through their lives. Once they are saved, they will be able to glorify God. Lord, for Your glory, save my loved one. Lord, save my brother, save my sister, save my parents, save my children, Lord, that they may bring You glory through their lives. You see, their unselfish prayer was so clear. This is the kind of prayer that God is pleased to answer. These are the kind of people that God is pleased to strengthen with power. Those whose hearts are fixed upon the glory of God, not their own feelings or their own pleasure. You see, we have been assembled together as a church for one reason, for the glory of God. Amen. For the glory of God. That needs to be our focus. That is our highest purpose in life. And when we face persecution, we simply need to turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen. We need to turn our eyes to the Lord, and we need to pray. See, our work for the Lord isn't about our self-effort, isn't about you and I feeling good. Yes, it's a wonderful joy to see a soul come to Christ. But our joy should be in the fact that the one who's come back to the Father has caused the Father to rejoice. That's where our joy should be. Amen? That's where our focus should be. Otherwise, we'll become selfish. And if we're selfish believers, then we'll become unbelieving and weak and frightened and hesitant and silenced in our witness. We need to be believers that understand the power of faith in God, in who He is, the power of prayer. And God honors the prayer of faith. Isn't that true? And that's what we see here in Acts chapter number 4. Notice what happened in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Simple point tonight. The power of God. The power of faith in God. The power of prayer to God. And then the power of God, evident in their lives. Notice their prayer was answered by the Lord. It was answered immediately. The Bible says that the place was shaken. Now, don't get confused. This wasn't another Pentecost. But what it reminds us of is what happened at Pentecost. Remember, God gave these believers the sign of a sound of a mighty rushing wind. That was one sign. The other sign was what? Tongues of fire, cloven tongues of fire. These were signs to indicate the Holy Spirit of God had come. Now, God literally shook this place. Why? Because he was giving the believers another sign. What was that sign? Not that the Holy Spirit had come. They knew that. But that God would continue to fill them for His glory and with His power. They already had the Holy Spirit of God. But the shaking of the place that they were in was simply a sign that God had answered their prayer and would fill them and use them for His glory. Now, we don't need God to give us a sign like that. Why? Because we've just read it in the Word of God. Amen. Once we are saved, Once the Holy Spirit seals us, when we are born again, He regenerates the believer from the inside out. He comes to indwell in us. From that point onwards, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. We are to yield ourselves like these believers, yield ourselves to God as bond servants, yield our emotions to God by putting our faith in Him. We are to yield our personal preferences to God for His glory. And when He does so, guess what? We're walking in the Spirit. We're allowing our vessel to be empty of self and sin and pride and fear. And we are allowing God to fill us with the Spirit of God. Now, He indwells every believer, but He doesn't fill every believer. And what God, what we need from God is to fill us with the Spirit of God. We need boldness as Christians, do we not? You can say amen. Amen. Most of the times our faith is weak. Most of the times our faith is fearful. And so often we don't have His boldness. That's why we get even more discouraged. Now, this was not a mysterious event that happened. You might say, Pastor, if this, well, this place hasn't shaken, so maybe I would have a bit of, maybe would be afraid if this place suddenly shook. See, the issue wasn't the shaking. The issue was their faith. And this shaking was simply a sign. And God can shake us up by the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And that's what we need. We need a supernatural working of God in our lives. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Because so much of us, our lives are filled with all sorts of hindrances. It's like a well. If you picture a well, as I mentioned last week, and there's the Holy Spirit of God like water rising up, seeking to fill us with His power. Now, He's there. He's in our lives, but He's not filling us. Why? Because on top of the well, into the well, what have we thrown? We've thrown junk. Fear. That's right. Muddied the water. We've thrown fear in there. We've thrown unbelief. We've thrown self-love and self-respect. You know, we've thrown all those emotions in there. Lord, I don't like when people say things to me that they don't like me anymore, Lord. I don't like that. And we throw in our unbelief and we cast all these things into the well. And we wonder why we are not filled with the Spirit. You see, what we need to do is allow God to cleanse the well of our lives. How? By turning our fear into faith, by putting our eyes upon the Lord, asking Him to remove those obstacles. And when our faith is in God, when we're praying unselfishly to God, God will answer that prayer. God will fill you for that day ahead at work to be a witness. Amen? God will fill you, ladies and men, to go out door knocking when we go out, if we are surrendered to God like these believers. The place was shaken. The Bible says that the people were filled. The people were filled. And what amazes me is this verse in verse 31 says that they were, what's the next word? In verse 31, look with me there. And they were all filled. That's an amazing statement. Not just the one praying was filled. So what does that tell us? Well, they were all assembled together. Is that right? They were all in with one accord. That means they were all united in their faith. Amen? Let me encourage you, Christian, put your faith in the Lord. Amen? Put your faith in God. Let's encourage one another to believe that, Lord, Thou art God. He can do the impossible. These were not grumbling believers. These were believers that were willing to put their faith in God in a horrific, troublesome day. And they did that. They were all together. They were all united in their faith. They all prayed together. Now, there's the importance of the prayer meeting, by the way. One person was praying, but they were all together in their faith and praying with that person. Amen? That's what the prayer meeting is all about. Praying together. Putting our faith in God together. That's the kind of blessing and prayer that God answers in a local New Testament church. When a church prays together, God will be delighted to give that church more opportunities and open doors and boldness for the gospel. And then they were all filled together. What an amazing answer to prayer. Can you imagine what would happen in our lives and in our communities if we were all here at Coastline Baptist Church filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Imagine what would happen. How often you and I would be more bold in our witness. And we'll cross paths with someone you've witnessed to and then someone I've witnessed to. And, oh yeah, I've received an invitation before. Yeah, they talked to me the other day when they got their hair cut. Oh yeah, he works with me and yeah, he's told me that before. And then I tell them, yes, it's true. The Lord saved me too. Amen? Crossing paths. And that's the plan of God. That we would go about, scattered abroad, preaching the gospel, witnessing. But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The people were filled. Now, some may say this, that this was a once-off event. Now, I beg to differ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is a clear command for every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let the shaking distract you, okay? That was just a sign to these early believers that, yes, the Holy Spirit will embolden you, will strengthen you. Don't worry about the shaking. Don't make much of it. The key is the filling of the Spirit. We're all commanded to be filled with the Spirit. God will never ask us to do something that cannot be done. So that means we need to examine our hearts. Where is our faith? Where is our heart? Where is our prayer life? Notice the result. The people were filled, and the proclamation was sounded. In verse 31, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice, in spite of persecution, they continue to witness. Now that's a contradiction. The Sanhedrin had just told them, no more. No more teaching. No more preaching. No more witnessing. That's the law. We are threatening you. Don't do it again. What happened? God empowered them and they went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is amazing. Notice verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Even though persecution continued to come, God gave them grace. God gave them the supernatural power to overcome those threats, to overcome those fears that we would all have as well in the same situation. To simply say, Lord, thank you for giving me the grace to look up and to acknowledge that you are on the throne. And even though they're threatening us, Lord, you're even using that for your glory. Thank you for giving me the boldness to go out. And that's what they did. And Acts 5:14, as we've read, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Can you see the power of the persecuted church tonight? Yes or no? Can you see it? And it's not complicated. It's not mysterious. They did not experience something that we cannot experience today. They did not experience a second Pentecost. They did not experience a strange and mysterious revival that it was mystical and suddenly the Holy Spirit of God trickled down like a rain or a dove upon them. That's not what happened. They were filled. Amen. They asked the Lord. We have not because we ask not. And so often when we're persecuted, guess what's the next thing to stop? Our prayer life. We become discouraged and we've stopped praying. Christian, God hasn't stopped His power. The problem is we've stopped our praying, haven't we? He hasn't stopped His power. We've stopped our praying. We become discouraged and we stop praying for that loved one. We stop praying for that workmate. They don't like me anymore. I'm not going to pray for them anymore. I'm not going to even try. I'm not going to even say a word. And we stay in our discouragement. That's not where God wants us to stay. Amen? Why? Because He is on the throne. Brethren, we need to praise God in every situation. How is your prayer life this morning? Wednesday night, this should be our Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm tempted to change Sunday night into Wednesday night. That may just be my flesh. It may not be of the Lord. Just to change Wednesday night into Sunday night, therefore we'll all be here for prayer. Be here on Wednesday night. We need to pray together. We need to ask God for great things together. Amen. You see, church is a together thing. And yes, God will fill us as individuals, but He works through His local New Testament church. That's what He is pleased to bless. That is the institution, the organism that He is pleased to work through. Yes, God will use you as an individual. And yes, we need to seek God as individuals, but together as a church, we have a like precious faith. Amen? That's what we have. That's why we need to pray together. Christian, where is your faith? Is it based upon the Word of God? Or is it based upon your circumstances? Is it based upon the feeling you feel when you're persecuted? Or is your faith based upon whom God says He is and what He says He's doing in our midst? Amen? This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Amen? Jesus who died shall be glorified, and heaven and earth be one. Friends, we are on the victory side. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now is not the time to crawl up into a ball and stop witnessing. Now is the time to pray, to speak to the Lord. Maybe as you go home this evening, God would allow you to spend some time in prayer and acknowledge Him as Lord on the throne. Acknowledge even the difficulty that you're facing with someone you're witnessing to as God, as completely under God's control. And God wants to use you and will use you. We need to pray for boldness. We need to pray that God would be glorified. That's the prayer that He is pleased to answer. They had nothing new, these believers. They have who we have this evening. And may we see their example and be encouraged and challenged as a church to follow the same. Amen.